on what happened yesterday with regards to the Mercosur deal and the fact that it's now been delayed, derailed, call it what you will. Then get in touch with us on the programme as well, because the EU Parliament, in a very tight vote, voted to refer to the European Court of Justice to check the legality of the deal that has been done. This will likely derail it for another 2 years, although there is some sort of a question that Germany wants to push ahead and go ahead with the deal while it's being checked out legally. With me on the line to talk about this is one of those who voted effectively against Mercosur, voted to send it to the ECJ, and that is Ireland's South MEP for Fianna Fáil, Billy Kelleher. Billy, good morning to you, and thanks for joining me in the programme this morning. Why did you vote the way you did yesterday?
Well, I suppose I'm being consistent in the sense that the Irish government opposed the Mercosur deal only a couple of weeks ago when it went before the council. We have campaigned on this previously over many, many years. I voted against the Mercosur agreement as far back as 2018 when I was in the Dáil. And subsequently, during the negotiations between the various political parties that now make up the government, it was included in the programme for government that they would work with like-minded countries to address the concerns around Mercosur. So to be consistent, that's why I did it. And it's not just a technicality. I mean, the issue here is that the Mercosur agreement was split into a couple of areas. Just the trade side of it, and that just requires a qualified majority, and it doesn't have to be endorsed by the national parliaments across the European Union, because they split out the political aspects of it and other areas of the agreement. So they split the agreement. And what we're effectively asking is that this will be referred to the European Court of Justice to interrogate it and to see whether it is in compliance with the treaties that underpin the European Union. So that's why we did it. And the question, of course, then is, well, if it's referred back and says, well, it is in accordance with the law and the EU treaties, well, then the next step then is, if we are to be consistent, is what do we do then?
What should we do then if that happens, to your mind?
Well, I mean, the bottom line here is, I mean, we've consistently said that the Mercosur agreement is a concern to Ireland on a number of fronts. First and foremost, the genuine and, you know, issues around beef, the importation of beef from Brazil, environmental standards, animal welfare standards, and also the issue of consumer confidence in traceability and the quality of food from some countries coming in that may not be produced to the same standards that it is in Ireland and across the European Union. And they were the concerns. And I mean, even recently, there was a recall across seven countries in Europe with regard to some beef. And it was also identified that some beef came into Ireland, admittedly through the UK initially, from what we can gather, and was contaminated with hormones, which are illegal in the European Union.
Yeah, does that not show the system is working? Just on that whole idea of food safety, and it's being said by some of the opponents to the deal, particularly in the farming lobby, that the floodgates would open and all of a sudden we'd be flooded by Brazilian beef with antibiotics. That's not what would happen. And the Commission said that's not what would happen. A European Commission official said that, you know, the deal would not prevent the EU from banning illegal beef or beef that isn't up to standards. So saying that, is that not scaremongering?
I'm not saying that the floodgates will open, but I mean,
but opponents to the deal are every farming lobby, every IFA, ICMSA are all saying, they're painting a picture for the Irish public which just isn't true on the face of it.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I can only speak for myself, and my commentary has been reasoned and rational for a long period of time around this issue. Now, I mean, others may have been involved in campaigning more recently, but my views have always been consistent, and they were around whether or not we can stand over with certainty that the products that are coming in from Mercosur countries would be produced to the same standards. And unfortunately, the fact of the matter is, even with limited testing, they have uncovered the fact that antibiotics has been used in animals that were slaughtered in Brazil and subsequently imported, and that beef coming from those countries was contaminated with growth hormones that have been banned in the European Union for over 30 years. So these are real issues. And this is with very limited testing. And questions have been asked previously whether they would have the capacity on traceability. I mean, the very minute a calf is born in Ireland, Jerry, It's DNA'd, it's tagged, and it's traceable until it arrives on your plate as meat. We know everything about the animal. In fact, we know more about animals in Ireland than we nearly do about people. And like the idea that we would then have something coming into the European Union that doesn't have those same standards, in my view, is an issue of genuine concern. Not only for the farmer, but for the person buying the meat.
What about the argument that by doing a deal like this and by holding your standards, that you would economically incentivize other countries and producers in other countries to meet those standards? So you have to meet this standard, this traceability, if you want to get your beef in here, and that would happen over a period of years.
Well, yes, that would be the hope, but I mean, like, let's be clear. You see, we already have some beef coming into the European Union from these countries. I mean, like, under the World Trade Organization rules, you know, you can import product from these countries, but there's tariffs on it. Yeah. And then we already have some beef coming in from Argentina and from Brazil. So, but the issue here is whether or not we formalize an agreement that can guarantee to a consumer anywhere in the European Union that the meat that they are purchasing from another country outside of the European Union is produced to the same standards. And if it's not produced to the same standards, there's two things that are a concern. It means that it could be produced cheaper and undercut the primary producers in Europe.
Suppliers.
But number two, and as importantly, that it could undermine the confidence of the consumer in the European Union that beef is not a safe product.
Yeah. And Billy, what do you make of the Irish Chamber's response to the vote yesterday? They described it as a setback to a small open economy that relies on stable trading relationships. We'll now have to forego the numerous benefits of the agreement for an extended period of time while costs and supply chain pressures increase. The longer this process drags on, the more uncertainty that we will face. Today's vote is particularly concerning given recent tariff volatility and growing global competitiveness pressures. In the era of Donald Trump, who looks to upend everything and tear up trade deals and tariff deals, a form of madness to say no to Mercosur? What's your response to their view?
Well, I mean, all I can say is that the European Union is pursuing several deals, trade negotiating deals. I support them all. I look at them individually. So New Zealand, Australia, they're talking about India now, Korea, elsewhere. So, I mean, I am very much, I mean, I was a foreign minister for trade. I mean, I used to go abroad promoting Ireland, promoting Irish products, promoting Irish services, trying to increase our exports. We are one of the most open global trading economies in the world. Singapore, one or two might be ahead of us, but after that, we're up there in the top 10. So we live or die by our ability to serve or sell our products across the world. But at the same time, we also have to be conscious that in the event of a particular deal being doing injury to a certain industry, you know, it has to be looked at and really analysed.
Yeah, the Chamber is saying, what about the positives for other industries? That's what they're arguing. This is all about farming, wagging the government, the tail wagging the dog of the government, that the farming lobby, and look, the farming lobby have to fight for their own interests. They're the same as every other lobby fighting for their own interests. That's fair enough. But that this is a flexing of their muscles and shows the power of them over almost every politician in the country.
Well, look, I mean, the farming lobbies are very, very effective in lobbying. There's no doubt about that. But I mean, I could just be clear. I mean, Gerry, in my political life, I've taken some very unpopular decisions, campaigned for the repeal of the eight, even when my own party was not enamoured with that idea. The decriminalisation of homosexuality is far back as 1992. So, I mean, I'm not afraid to take stances that I believe in, that I believe are right. And on the face of it, trade and international trade is an exceptionally good thing for Ireland, and we've benefited from it. However, the Mercosur deal does have this particular concern very much in the middle of it, and that's one of the reasons I referred it yesterday. And if it comes back from that, well, as it stands, we would be opposing it.
Okay. All right, Billy, listen, we'll see where it goes from here. Just one final word on it. Are you concerned, as someone who voted against it and wants to see it go to the European Court of Justice, who's opposed to the deal as it stands, about comments from some of the German leadership saying, look, we'll go ahead anyway while the court is deciding?
Well, look, I mean, obviously, I would prefer if it didn't go ahead. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, I mean, you know, I'm rules based. I operate within the rules, and they could go ahead with a provisional agreement, with the provisional agreement, until such time as the European Court of Justice adjudicates on it. So it is possible that the Commission could carry out the mandate that it was given by the Council around pursuing a provisional agreement until such time as there's the final arbitration by the court, and then a final decision by the European Parliament.
Does that is a possibility. What you've done yesterday in some way, though? Is that not against the spirit of what the Parliament voted for yesterday?
Well, ultimately, for the agreement to go ahead, ultimately, long-term, and to be established on a full-time basis, it will need the consent of the Parliament.
Yeah, so it will come down to a vote eventually. Okay,
yes.
Billy, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for talking
Thank
to us.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Appreciate that. All the best.
Keep your views coming into us on what Billy Keller had to say about the Mercosur deal. With me on the line to talk now about that vote in the European Parliament yesterday on whether to refer the Mercosur trade deal to the European Court of Justice is Ireland South MEP for Fine Gael, Sean Kelly, who was one of the four MEPs for Ireland who voted against it. 10 votes in the end was the difference in this one, which means it goes to the ECJ and is probably delayed for the next 2 years or so, or possibly delayed for the next 2 years. So, Sean Kelly, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. From Strasbourg, yeah. Nice to be with you again.
Why did you vote the way you did yesterday, Sean?
Well, first of all, I didn't see this being a vote on Mercosur. It was whether we should refer it to the courts to make a judgment on the legality of it. And I was the rapporteur, as we call it here, the person in charge, for the Singapore agreement over 10 years ago. And that has worked out extremely well. But that was referred to the court to see, was it legal? In other words, the division of competences between the institutions and the national parliaments. And that was found to be perfectly legal. And we continued then applying FTAs according to that, including a year ago, the Chile agreement. So the Mercosur agreement follows the exact same position in the same lines. So I saw no reason whatsoever to be referring it to the courts, and I felt that we had a job to do in the European Parliament. We shouldn't be sidelining ourselves by kicking it down to the courts. We should make a decision as we did in previous free trade agreements. So
okay,
that's
and do you
my
still,
logic
do you still not know which way you will go on that ultimate vote?
Well, I'm open to conviction because I like to listen to all discussions and all arguments. And we had a meeting here on Tuesday night with Fancy Gorman, the president of the IFA, and I went through facts and figures with him. We had different opinions on it. But I think it's important that there's a proper debate, and that was my concern all along. We were only hearing one side of it, and I think a lot of it was inaccurate, and a lot of it was actually scaremongering. And I don't think that's the way you should do business. You should put your facts on the table, you should argue them out and have a proper discussion and come to a logical conclusion. And that was the most important thing. Because the Mercosur trade deal, these are the fallouts from it now that I'm hearing. It is costing us now up to 53 billion euro per year not having it. And at a time when we're in dire straits trying to find money for this, that and the other thing, I think that's something that I'm not too pleased about here in Europe. But that is it made, the decision was democratically taken to refer it, and we have to respect that and wait now for the courts to decide, even though I think that it's a foregone conclusion in the sense that they decided already on the Singapore agreement.
Okay, Sean, tell me this. What's your response to people who would comment and even some of the texts coming in this programme saying shame on Sean Kelly for not voting, you know, to put it off to the ECJ, you're betraying farmers and your constituents to put you where you are. What's your response to that commentary?
I think that's totally right. for the reasons I gave you. You have to look at things logically. Sure, we're farmers all our lives. Would I vote against something that I think deep down is bad for farmers? But I don't think the facts have been explained properly to farmers. That's the problem. That's making a big issue about 99,000 extra tons of beef coming into the European Union, which when broken down and taking the bone out of it, is 77,000 tons. And then when it's divided between the Mercosur countries, it's half of that again for Brazil. And they're saying that it's going to be carcinogenic. I mean, that type of thing is terrible. There's checks in the borders, and there'll be more checks now if there is a Mercosur deal. There'll be less checks, of course, if there isn't. There's 206,000 tons coming already, so that's not going to change. Brazil are exporting to over 100 countries around the world, including China, which we were locked out of. And now we are saying that this extra, less than 1%, I would say, is going to destroy our economy and our businesses and our farmers. And also at a time, Jerry, which is very important, when actually production in the European Union is dropping. Production, beef production in Europe is down already in Ireland. I think we had something like 1.1 million suckler cows. It's now down to 675,000 thereabouts and dropping. So it's supposed to drop at least 10% over the next 2 years. And they're telling us that bringing in 1% from Mercosur is going to destroy the industry. And even if it does affect it, we look for safeguards. Those safeguards are very good. We got a chance to amend them at the Agricultural Committee, where the farmers' representatives are. They were happy with it, the Trade Committee, and then even further amendments at the Parliament level. Bringing it down to any disruption in the market would trigger these safeguards. And added to that, we added a monitoring committee on which you could have farmers' representatives to keep an eye on things on a continuous basis. So I think it's, for me anyway, I just find it hard to see how all that adds up to saying we want safeguards, we're going to be destroyed, but the safeguards are no good. So I just have difficulty in getting my head around all that.
Okay. You seem out of step, though, with the majority of Irish politicians. Would you accept that on this? TDs, government ministers, Taoiseach Tánaiste, the whole lot.
Absolutely. And I would like to sit down across the table with the whole lot of them and argue the points with them and ask them to give me the evidence that what they're saying is going to destroy the beef industry. And I think I'd win the argument because I see no logic whatsoever in what's being said based on the points I gave you and other points which I could raise as well. But I want to listen to everybody's viewpoint. And also, of course, I want to finish off with this story, if I may. If you look back at previous trade agreements, take, for instance, CETA, the Canadian agreement. The exact same as being said now about Mercosur was said then. That was going to destroy the beef industry. What actually has happened? The exact opposite. Beef exports from Ireland to Canada have gone up tenfold. And dairy products have gone up doubled or more. So if we listened to those people at that time, which have rejected CETA, you'd have denied the Irish beef industry and the dairy industry and others, the spirits, you name it, an opportunity which they have availed of to increase their exports, not the other way around. Because we have premium products which we should have confidence in, which we should be proud of, and which are well able to compete with any products around the world.
Sean, let me ask you this. Do you think this damages the EU's ability to negotiate trade agreements? 25 years, then a deal is done, it's signed last week, and now it's kicked into the long grass?
You're absolutely right, and that's the big worry now. Because they're trying to do deals with India, United Arab Emirates, Indonesia, several countries around the world. And the question they will ask is, can you deliver? And the Commission, in their discussions and negotiations after yesterday, can say they will deliver. So that is a big issue. The other thing, though, Jerry, which is going to the Agricultural Committee should be aware of, which they're saying now, that in future trade deals, they probably won't include agriculture at all. So that you'll get tariff-free opportunities for all other industries under a new free trade agreement, and agriculture won't be included at all because it's becoming too difficult for them to get it over the line.
Okay. So they're the points to be made. What would you say to the farmers? Is that that's fine? We'll deal our own, we'll trade with our own partners in Europe, and we'll keep it to that. Globalisation sometimes can lead to the lowest common denominator. It can lead to a lowering standard, lower wages for workers, and pressure on that. Globalisation hasn't benefited all areas equally, particularly rural areas. What's your response to that? That these trade deals sound fine, but ultimately the money goes to the top. Big companies, big corporations, and smaller people, smaller farmers suffer.
No, sure, the evidence is there and the logic is there that if you have to pay tariffs to export into a country and then the tariffs are removed, that benefits every industry and every factor that is trying to export theirs. And that's the whole purpose of free trade agreements. And that's why they have been so successful for the European economy. And that's why they need to have them more and more. And that's why we're trying to do India, etc. And particularly at a time when Donald Trump is putting more tariffs possibly on European exports, and China is undercutting us regarding state subsidies. So we are in a difficult position right now, and we need to try and work on our competitiveness for the good of everybody, and that's part of the policy that the free trade agreements could help that and could help all areas indeed. And that's crucial because we export an awful lot of it. These goods, which they were willing to buy, particularly a growing middle class across the world, South America, Southeast Asia, etc. For instance, I see that the Vietnam, which I was down there a few years ago, tried to negotiate a free trade agreement, which came into being. That's now being opened to Irish beef exports. So it benefits us all when we take the opportunity and work on it.
Speaking of Donald Trump and speaking of China undercutting us, what do you make of what has happened finally in the last couple of days? It looks like Donald Trump is reverting back from his tariff threat. He spent half his speech talking about Iceland instead of Greenland yesterday. And the Chinese are warning that the world on trade and other things is in danger of reverting back to the law of the jungle.
Yeah, that's obviously a big worry of what has been going on in the last few weeks, and the carry on about Greenland and buying it and taking it by force. It's a huge distraction and it's not helpful, and it creates divisions which shouldn't be there at all, because traditionally the Americans have been our great friends and they have been very helpful to us and they've been our allies, and that is what it should continue, because they are in NATO, a lot of the European countries are in NATO, so there's an opportunity to look at it together to come up with any defences that are needed around Greenland and the Arctic. And what is the other thing, of course, is the consequences is that China is benefiting hugely from what Trump is doing. We saw that even our own Taoiseach, Mark Martin, was down there a few weeks ago, and he's trying to open the Chinese market once again for Irish beef. We were locked out of it, which again shows that if Brazil are exporting to China, and we were locked out of it because of one atypical BSE, that they do have checks and they do have standards. But at that apart, you see Canada doing a deal with China. So Donald Trump is, I think, making a big mistake in that regard, because he's actually strengthening China and weakening the US in the long term.
All right, Sean. Listen, we're going to leave it there. My thanks to you for talking to us about that in the program this morning. We'll see where things go. No problem. That's Sean Kelly there with his view on why he voted for the deal not to be referred to the ECJ yesterday. Feels that that's already been decided upon, and we'll listen to all sides as he goes towards perhaps maybe a final vote on this in European Parliament whenever that happens. Now.